Okay, we're starting today on Kafteta Mubet, nearing the end here. We were in the middle of a discussion about whether you could wash your clothes or not. So now we're going to get to Amar Rav. Rav says, Lo shanu ela lefanav, aval acharav mutar. All of this is talking about before Tisha B'Av, but after Tisha B'Av, you can wash your clothes. Now you might think, obviously, right? Whoever said you can't wash your clothes after Tisha B'Av. But we're going to see that there's an opinion that you can wash your clothes even after Tisha B'Av. Ushmuel amar afilu lacharav nami asur. And then until when would it be asur? The entire week. In other words, Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av is the whole week Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, including the day after. Meitibe. So now we have a question from a Braita. Shabbat Shechal Tisha B'Av. Now remember, Shabbat is not Shabbat, it's the week. Right? Like in Chav Miyodea, Shiva Yimei Shabbata. Okay. Or Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbat. So it's a week. The week Shechal Tisha B'Av Liyot B'Tocha Asur L'Saper U'L'Chabes U'B'Chamishi Mutarim M'Pnei Kvod HaShabbat Ketzad. So now they're going to explain, how does this work out? Chal Liyot B'Echa B'Shabbat. If Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, Mutar L'Chabes Kol HaShabbat Kula. You can wash the entire week because there is no Shavuot Shechal Bo. B'Sheni B'Shlishi B'Revi'i U'B'Chamishi L'Fanav Asur L'Acharav Mutar. That works with Rav and everything we've understood until now. Remember, we learned that, right? And then the question was it to also wear, or was it just, right? And then we said it was also to wear. You could wear a clean garment on Thursday because it's your only garment and you had to wash it so it was clean for Shabbat. And if he didn't wash it on the Thursday, here's a great chiddush. If Tisha B'Av is on a Friday, okay, which nowadays it doesn't come out, but if Tisha B'Av were to be on a Friday, you'd be allowed to wash, and you didn't wash your clothes and you needed it for Shabbat, you'd be allowed to wash it from Mincha Ulamala. Okay, presumably, I assume we're talking about Mincha Ketana, like closer to the end of the day, you'd be allowed to wash it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're just getting off on a tangent. Remember, why did we bring this? We brought this as a question on Shmuel, who said that the entire week, Shavuot Shechal Bo, even after Tisha B'Av is Asur. And now we see from this Braita, no, it's just until Tisha B'Av, because this Braita really explains it. If it's on Tuesday, then it's still Tuesday, right? If it's on Wednesday, etc. Then, just as a side point, Layit Ale Abaye, V'item Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Aha. So now Abaye, or maybe it was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, curses anyone who washes their clothes on Friday, Tisha B'Av. Okay, if Tisha B'Av falls on a Friday and you didn't, what are they saying really? Not that they're against this halakha that you're allowed to, but they're saying if you got yourself into this situation where you didn't clean your clothes and you're stuck now Friday without clothes, like, cursed be the person who does this. Now, make sure to wash your clothes before. Don't rely on this heter, basically.
But you're not allowed to do it the whole week before.
You could do it on Thursday. So make sure to do it on Thursday. Right. If you have nothing else to wear, you can do it Thursday. Okay. So do it Thursday. Don't wait for Tisha B'Av, Mincha Time Ulamala. It sounds like those people who always wait for the last minute, right? I just didn't get to it, right? So they're saying don't get yourself into that situation. Chaliyot b'sheni. Okay, so now we're back to the Braita. Chaliyot b'sheni u'b'chamishi, korin shlosha u'maptir echad. When it comes out on a Monday and a Thursday, so three aliyot, there's three aliyot for the Torah reading. Now we're just getting totally off on a tangent, but they're just bringing in the Braita because we were there. If it falls out on a Monday and a Thursday, so for aliyot, you have three aliyot and one maftir. You know, the third guy usually reads the maftir. Okay, and there's half Torah on Tisha B'Av. Bishlishi b'revi'i kore echad u'maftir echad. If it comes out on Tuesday and Wednesday, only one guy goes up to read the Torah, and that same guy does maftir. There's only one aliyah. Okay, you ever see this? Never. We don't do this. Okay. We never have just one person go up to read the Torah. But here we see that at some point somebody thought that you could. Rabbi Yossi Omer La'olam Korin Shlosha U'Maftir Echad. Okay. In other words, no matter what day of the week it comes out, three people read and maftir. Okay. Now we're back to, we brought this bright as a question for Shmuel, and they say Tiyuvta de Shmuel. So this is they're just in case you got lost and sidetracked from what the issue was. This we brought as a kosher for Shmuel, who said that it's the entire week, even after Tisha B'Av. Amar lecha Shmuel, so Shmuel will answer, no problem. Tanaihi, it's a machloket tana'im, because I can bring another bright to support my opinion. Now remember, this isn't Shmuel. This is someone putting words in Shmuel's mouth. Shmuel will say, if he were here, he's not here. Okay, that's the nusach Amar lecha Shmuel. He would say, Tanaihi detanya, Tisha B'Av shechaliyot b'Shabbat, v'chein, erev Tisha B'Av shechaliyot b'Shabbat, Ochel v'shoteh kol tzorko, Umaaler shochano afilu kesudat shlomo b'shato. Okay, this again doesn't have to do with our issue, but it's the beginning of the Braita. If Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbat, or Erev Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbat, you can eat as much as you want. In other words, Shabbat, even if it's Tet B'Av is Shabbat, you're allowed to have, eat like a king, like Shlomo HaMelech, because it's Shabbat. And Lechvod Shabbat, it's Yoche, all that stuff, right? If Tisha B'Av were to come in on Shabbat, then Tisha B'Av would be on Sunday, right? It's Nidche. V'asur l'saperu l'chabes, here we have it, Me Rosh Chodesh ve'ad ha'ta'anit divrei Rabbi Meir. First opinion is Rosh Chodesh until the fast. Okay, we're going to chart out these dates. Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av is the first opinion. That's Rabbi Meir. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Chodesh Kulo Asur. Whoa. Okay? Kol Chodesh Av, according to him. The whole month, you can't take a haircut and you can't wash your clothes. That's pretty serious. Rashbag Omer, Eino Asur Elo Tasha B'Av Bilvad. And Rashbag says, Kol HaShavua, okay? Shavua Shechalbo. So, but he says, Kol HaShabbat Kulo. He doesn't say, right? He says, Elo HaShabbat Bilva, but he means the entire week. Okay? B'tanya Idach. Okay, so that's basically, now we have it, that he says that week, okay? And we assume that when he says that week, he means the entire week that Tisha B'Av falls out so on, even after. Well. And that's Shmuel's opinion, that even after the fast, we still have Shavua Shechalbo. V'tanya idach, another braita in the related issues. V'noheg avel merosh chodesh va'ad atani, divrei Rabbi Meir. We're going to see that the same opinions hold about all dinei avelut. Okay, dinei avelut are applicable also to the 9 days, also to the minhagei. Right, we do minhagei avelut related to Tisha B'Av, and now the question is only how long. Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says again, Rosh Chodesh until the fast. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol HaChodesh Kulo Asur. Rashbag Omer, No Asur Elo Tasha B'Av Bilvad. Okay, now Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan comes to talk about these three Tanaitic opinions. And he says, V'lishloshtam Mikracha Darshu, they all darshan from one pasuk, Dichtiv. V'hishbati, I'm going to lay to rest, meaning it won't happen. Kol Misusa Chaga Chodesha V'shibta. Okay, all your happy holidays, months, and weeks. Ah, now you can figure it out already. Man damar me Rosh Chodesh va'ad atanit mechaga. Right, they learn it from Rosh Chodesh because Rosh Chodesh is a chag. Okay, so I'm going to stop all your chagim from Rosh Chodesh. It's going to stop. Uman damar kol haChodesh kula asur mi from the word chodesha. Right, your month. Uman damar kol haShabbat kula asur mi Shabbata. Right, they understand Shabbata is week, which makes sense in that context. It would be week. Or it could be Shabbat, actually, but they understand it as week. Okay, now we're going to get halacha. Amar Rava, halacha ki Rashbag. Amar Rava, halacha ki Rabbi Meir. Ooh, weird, right? He says, we pasken like Rashbag, we pasken like Rabbi Meir. So what are we talking about? Utravaihu lekula. And we go by the kula of both. So let's do this on the board, okay? Rabbi Meir says from Rosh Chodesh till Tisha B'Av. Okay, so we have 1 through 9, right? And Rashbag says the entire week, right? Shavua. So the Shavua might be like this, right? From the middle of between Aleph and Tet until after Aleph and Tet. Let's just say, possibly. So where they overlap, that's when, right? Just the overlap between whatever the week is until Tisha B'Av. In other words, it goes like both, but Lekula. So in other words, it's going to start from Rosh Chodesh, but only if it's Shavua Shechalbo, which it can't be actually. So it's going to be, in other words, he wants to start it. It starts from Shavua Shechalbo, but it goes all the way until the end of that week. Okay? So, but the truth is,
back to Aleph.
Now that I'm thinking about it, right, why wouldn't it go, according to this, 1 second. Right. In other words, you get from Rabbi Meir, we're going to read this in a minute inside, but you get from Rabbi Meir that it doesn't go past Tisha B'Av, and you get from Rashbag that it only starts from Shavua Shechalbo and not from Rosh Chodesh. Okay? You can already see here where the minhagim, but the difference between Ashkenaz and Sfarag come about, that Ashkenaz say Rosh Chodesh, and they even start from the 3 weeks, which doesn't even come up here at all, if you notice. No 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's the opposite, right? It's past Tisha B'Av is an opinion, but right, the whole month of Av, but not the 3 weeks starting before
Av.
Which
is weird, because there's Tu B'Av, which is a chag. So
how do you relate to Tu B'Av if you're going to say the whole month is Avilut, right? That's true. You could say the whole month except maybe that day, right? He doesn't relate to that at all, what he does with Tu B'Av.
Which
is mentioned already in the Mishnah. It's not like it didn't exist in the you could say, oh, maybe it's only from the Gemara, developed later, because anyway, Tu B'Av is not exactly in our sources, but it really comes up in the Mishnah. So yeah, you'd have to say there was some issue with that. Okay, so he says, and he needs to say both, and this is what we just said. If he had just said halachak Rabbi Meir, hava mina filu me Rosh Chodesh, we would have thought to start even from Rosh Chodesh. So kamash malan halachak Rashbag, that we only start from the week. And if you had just said the halachas Rashbag shavu shachalbo, hava mina filu lacharav, we would have thought even after. And therefore it tells us the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that we have in order to tell us it's just Shavuot Shechalbo and just until the real Sephardi Minhag. Okay? Just until Tisha B'Av is over. Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay? Except that we pointed out already that it continues through the 10th of Av because of the middle of the day, because of the burning. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tavshilim. Okay, now, I just want to point out, this sugya is a little similar to a sugya on the page before, so I want to talk about this concept. Before we had this issue of washing clothes, and we tried to figure out what kind of category is this. Is this like Chol HaMoed, where this Isur Melacha, we can't do certain melachot, and we're not allowed to wash clothing because of the work involved? Or is it here because we don't want clean clothing, right? And then they talked about even that you can't wear clean clothing, clothes that even you wash before but are clean. Now, and there's all sorts of issues about when we take an isur, like it's asur to wash your clothes. Does it come into the other category of other times where it's asur to wash your clothes? Or are we saying, no, it's a separate issue here. It's mutar to wash your clothes, but you can leave them for after Tisha B'Av. It's not the washing. It's the having clean clothing to wear that's the issue. So now we're going to have the same thing with the Shnei Tavshilim. Where do we know Shnei Tavshilim from? From Erev Tavshilim, right? Well, you're supposed to put an Erev. You put two cooked items. So there's a machlok, and among the mefarshim here, it doesn't come up in the Gemara, but it's an interesting conceptual argument. How do we view the Shnei Tavshilim? There's two times where you have cooked foods in halacha. One is Erev Tavshilin, which is anything you cook, right? It could be anything you cook is good for an Erev Tavshilin. Or do we put it in the category, and there also there's a diyun, what if you cook one thing with two cooked items in it? You put an egg inside something else and you cook it together. An egg and a fish, I think, is the example they bring. So is that considered one cooked item or two cooked items? So do we go and look at those definitions? Or is it a different issue? Is it not the issue of quantity of food, right? Like for, I don't know exactly how you would categorize why Erev Tavshilin. Or does it go into the category where else do we have cooked foods? And you store it in Bishul Akum. Okay, now Bishul Akum has specific definitions. For example, if you have a raw or food that you can eat raw, like vegetables, and you cook them, you're allowed to serve, let's say a non-Jew cooks it, you're allowed to eat it. Because that is not a respectable food. Anything that wouldn't be Ole al Shulchan Malachim, or, right, anything you wouldn't bring to a king's table, or something that can be eaten raw, and you just happen to have cooked it, that does not fall into the category of Bishul Akum. So do we take, since here we're talking about having a meal with important foods, right? It's an important meal. So you want to make it not such an important meal. So you eat something very small or something different. So would it go more into the category of Bishul Akum definitions and not, like for example, if you take vegetables and you cook them, that's fine for an Erev Tavshilin. I mean, nobody happens to do that, but you could, right? So you could take cooked vegetables, but you can't take cooked vegetables and do, you know, if you do Bishul Akum, it doesn't count as Bishul Akum. So the question is, how do we define it? So I thought it was interesting that both these sugyot have this unique halacha by Tisha B'Av. And the question is, does it fall into the general categories that we have for these things, or is it different? And which one, you know, in the case of the cooking, there's two different options, and the question is, which one does it fall into? And there's just machlokot among the mefarshim about it. Okay, so you can't eat two tavshilim. Amar Rav Yehuda, lo shanu, ela mishesha odu lamala. Here also, by the way, we're going to have a sugya that's exactly like the sugya before, where he paskins two things, and we say it's the kula of both, okay? Which I think is just coincidence, that it happens to be two sugyot right after another, but maybe it's not, maybe they brought it here because of that. But anyway, they brought it here because it's the next part of our Mishnah, so I think it's more coincidental. Amar Yehuda, lo shanu ela mishesh odu lamala. We're not talking, when it says Erev Tisha B'Av, you can't eat two cooked foods, we're only talking about from midday, from chatzot and on. But in the morning, aval mishesh odu lamata mutar, in the morning you can eat whatever you want. V'amar Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda continues to say, lo shanu ela b'suda ha-mafsikba. We're only talking about suda mafseket. Aval suda sheino mafsikba mutar. If you eat a meal for lunch after midday, or even you eat a meal for dinner, if you're planning to eat more before Tisha B'Av starts, that's not your suda mafseket. By the way, our minhag is to eat a regular meal with shnei tavshilim. Then we stop, and then we eat a suda mafseket, where we eat eggs dipped in ashes or whatever people's minhagim are. We eat just that, and that's our suda mafseket. So we eat a whole dinner based on what he says here, right? In other words, yes, it's true that while it's after Sheh Sha'ot, however, only after Sheh Sha'ot, and it's your suda mafseket. Okay, and he says here, utravayu lekula. So utsricha, we need them both. Why? De'yesh minam besuda mafsik ba hava minu afilu mishesh shaot ulamata. Let's say you ate your suda mafseket in the morning. I don't know why you would do that, but let's just say you ate your last meal before the fast in the morning. Then it would be okay to eat more than you would be able to eat shnei tavshilim. So kamash malan mishesh shaot ulamala. V'yashmina mishesh shaot ulamala hava minu afilu besuda she'eno mafsik ba. If you had just said mishesh shaot, you would have thought, even if you're eating lunch or an early dinner, you wouldn't be able to eat shnei tavshilim. Kamashlan, therefore, he has to tell us besuda mafsikba. Okay, and therefore, it's only your suda mafseket, which takes place right, after 6 hours into the day. Okay, now we're going to see a braita that supports each statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, because remember, Rabbi Yehuda is an emora, and here we want to bring a braita to support what he's saying. Tanya Kalishna Kama, there's a braita like the first thing he says, but Tanya Kalishna Batra, and there's a braita like the second thing he says. Tanya Kalishna Batra, first we're going to start with the last thing. It's like an ABBA format, right? He says, we're going to bring a braita like the first, we're going to bring a braita like the second, and then they start with the braita of the second. Hasoed Erev Tisha B'Av, im atid lisod su'uda acheret, mutar lechol basar lishtot yayin, im lav asur lechol basar lishtot yayin. Okay, here we're going to see something interesting, that clearly in those days, or at least according to this source, there was no isur to drink wine and eat meat on the 9 days, right? Or on Shavuot Shechalbo, for that matter, right? However you would define it. He's talking about the only time when you can't do it is in the Suda Mafseket, okay? So here he says, if you're eating on Erev Tisha B'Av, if you're going to eat another meal, meaning this isn't your Suda Mafseket, so it's proving the second statement of Rabbi Yehuda, you can eat basar, you can drink wine, Vim lav, if it's your last meal, let's roll the chobasar lishtot yayin. Tanya kalishna kama, now we're going to support the first thing he says. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tavshilim, lo yochal basar velo yishtei yayin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, you can't eat meat, you can't drink wine, and you can't eat shnei tavshilim. Again, this seems to support the fact that on the other days you'd be allowed to. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer yishaneh. It's okay to, Rabban Gamliel says you can eat, Rabban Shimon Gamliel says you can eat all those things, but you have to change something. You have to eat a little differently than you normally eat. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ketzav mishaneh. How do you change? So now they explain. Im haya ragil le'achol shnei tavshilin, yochal minecha. Im haya ragil le'achol b'asara b'nei adam, so'e b'chamisha. Haya ragil l'shtot asara kosot, shoteh chamisha kosot. Okay, so now what does he say? It all depends on what you're used to. If you're used to eating with meat and wine, so with many tavshilim, so eat less, right? If you usually eat two, then eat one. If you usually have 10 people you eat with, only eat with five people. If you usually have 10 cups of wine, I don't know who's drinking 10 cups of wine in their meal, only drink five cups of wine. Okay, so what do you see here? Again, here it's really interesting. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, you can even drink wine and presumably eat meat just up to the fast. In other words, there's no issue. Wine and meat don't come into play here.
Where did that come from? It's not also a sign of avilut, not eating meat. So where did that
Right, I don't know where it came from. Drinking wine, I think do you not when you're an avil, not drink wine? I don't remember.
I don't remember that.
Right, I don't know exactly where it comes from. You do see here that they talk about it here, right? It's almost like they extended what existed for the Suda Mafseket, and it got extended. I don't know, I haven't researched where it developed. This actually, if I remember correctly, there's an article, Danielle Sperber has books, they're up there. You can see them in Minhagei Yisrael, those green books. They're really good, and they talk about all different sorts of minagim and where they developed. And I think he has a whole article about the 9 days, and because it's very interesting in terms of how it developed, because it's Shavuot Chabo became the 9 days, became 3 weeks, and Ashkenaz and Sfarad, there's differences. You know, it's an interesting topic, and I think he has an article about it, if I remember. Okay, so now we still haven't gotten to our issue. So now the Braita continues. We want to prove, remember, that it's all about the Sheish Shaot. All the stuff that we're discussing is only if you're having your suit at Mafseket, Mishesha Odu Lamata. Okay? 1 second. No, sorry. Not suit at Mafseket. It's only Erev Tisha B'Av. And these Yisurim of Erev Tisha B'Av are only from Shesha Odu Lamala and not earlier in the day. And then if you combine the two brightot again, you get the issue that it's suit at Mafseket and later in the day. Tanya Idach, another brayta. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tavshilim, lo yochal basar v'lo yishte yayin, divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim yishne. Okay, so now again we have two opinions, right? Again, this time instead of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel saying you should make a change, this time it's chachamim. And the Tana Kama now we see is Rabbi Meir, which we didn't see before, it was just Tana Kama. Umimaet bebasar ubayayin. Okay, and you should limit the amount of basar and yayin you eat. Ketzam imayin. Im hayaragil echol litra basar, yochal chatzi litra. Hayaragil eshot log yayin, yeshteh chatzi log yayin. Okay, you just basically minimize the amount of food that you eat. A litra basar is either 354 grams or 425, depending on whose opinion you hold by. Okay. V'im eino ragil kol ikar, and if you don't ever drink wine or eat meat, then asur, then you for sure are asur in that meal to eat wine or drink wine or eat meat. Rashba gomer, im haya ragil echol tznon o maliach achar sudato, harishup biyado. Okay, this seems to be some sort of pickled meat that they would eat. And there's no problem to eat this pickled meat because they say it doesn't have a lot of taste. Okay, once you pickle the meat, it loses a lot of its taste and it's not considered meat anymore. So you'd be allowed to even after your meal. Tanya Idach, another braita, kol shu mishum tisha b'av, asur lecho basar, v'asur lishtot yayin. Anything that's mishum tisha b'av, okay, so they assume here that we're talking about that you're eating your su'uda as a su'uda mafseket, right, for the inyan of tisha b'av, so you can't eat meat and you can't drink wine, v'asur lirchotz, okay, you also can't wash. 1 second, the assumption here is after you finish your meal, you're no longer allowed to eat meat, drink wine, and wash. Kol she'eino mishum tisha b'av, mutar lecho basar l'shot yayin, ve'asur l'chotz. Okay, so now this is an issue. 1 second. Yeah, the girsaot here changed. It's not asur l'chotz, but mutar l'chotz. It's very difficult to say asur l'chotz. The assumption here is if you've had your meal, your suit mafsek, and when the meal is over, you shouldn't be washing anymore. Okay? There's an isur v'chitza on Tisha B'Av, right? So it extends to when you finish your suit mafsek. Now, why is that? Because the after effects of washing stay with you for a while. You feel good after you take a shower, right? So you feel good for a few hours. So once you finish that last meal, you're no longer allowed to wash. But according to, it seems weird to say that if you're not eating your meal for Tisha B'Av, meaning it's not your suda mafseket, so you should be mutar lechol yayin, lechol basar, and l'shot yayin, but asur lechot, so they say there's a ta'ut here, and it should be umutar lechot. Okay? Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv, kol sha'ash mutar lechol basar, mutar lechot. Okay, as long as you can eat basar, you can also wash. Tana Rabbanan. So now we're going to see that all the things that are nohegan avelut are nohegan tisha b'av. Now they're going to list. Now what's interesting here is they're not listing only things that are nohegan avelut, because they're going to list some things that have nothing to do with avelut, but they have to do with the fast. So they're just listing all the things in tisha b'av that are asur, including dinei avelut that get added to the fast issues. So what are they? Asur ba'achila u'b'shtiyah u'b'sicha u'b'nilat ha'sandal. If you see there's an aleph there, and the aleph tells us that we're supposed to add the word u'b'rechitza. It seems like rechitza is missing here, because obviously rechitza, you can't wash on Tisha B'Av. So it's asur ba'achila u'b'shtiyah, rechitza, sicha, right? Sicha is putting oils on. U'b'nilat ha'sandal, and wearing leather shoes. ubitashmish hamitza and having sexual relations. Basur lekrot b'torah b'nevi'im ubichtuvim. You can't learn. You can't read from the Torah nevi'im ubichtuvim. Okay, except for obviously what we read in shul. Ulishnot b'mishnah b'talmud b'midrash b'halachot b'agadot. Okay, you can't learn. That's my house phone. You can't learn Mishnah, Talmud, Midrash, Halakha, Agadot. Okay, you can't do any learning. Okay, but here's an interesting halakha. Why can't you learn? Because it brings simcha, right? So it's enjoyable to learn. Aval korehu b'makom she'eno ragil likrot b'shoneh b'makom she'eno ragil lishnot. If it's something he's not familiar with, he's allowed to read it because it causes him more frustration than happiness. Okay? V'koreh b'kinot u'be'iyov u'bedvarim ha'ra'im sh'b'yiriyahu. Okay, we're allowed to read kinot. We're allowed to learn Eov because it's depressing, so to speak. We're allowed to learn, and it's also relating to all these, you know, questions that would maybe arise also on Tisha B'Av, why bad things happen. Ubidvarim haraim shebiyirmiyahu, and all the nivuot poraniyot that happen, the bad nivuot about the Churban. V'tinokot shel Beit Rabban b'teilim mishum shenemar pikudei Hashem yesharim misam chelev. There's no school, okay? The little kids don't go to school. Because Pikudei Hashem are Yisharev, they're Yisharim, they're Misamchelev. They make people happy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Tanakam about one thing. Af eino korev makom she'eno ragil likrot, be'eino shonev makom she'eno ragil lishnot. I don't buy into this thing that you're not happy, right? That it's upsetting when you're learning new things. No, if you're not familiar with it, you still can't learn it, which is actually the way we paskin. Aval korehu b'iyovu b'kinot v'dirim harayim sh'bimiyahu, and then he just continues the same thing as Tanakama, v'tinokot shabet rabam b'teilim bo mishum sh'neemar p'kudei Hashem yishar m'sam chilev. Okay. Lo yochal bas... Okay, what's missing here, a really important one? Tefillin. Tefillin in Avel doesn't wear on the first day. So some people, there's a big machloket about tefillin and Tisha B'Av. Okay? Sephardi Ashkenazi machloket, Sephardim put on, Ashkenazim put on in the afternoon. It comes from here because it's not clear. It's not listed here. Some people say it's not included because it only includes things that are usher all 7 days of Avelut. And that's only usher on the first day. So they say, therefore, it's not included here. Anyway, it's different opinions, and that's why we do it later in the day. Tana. Lo yochal basar v'lo yishtayayin. Tana. Aval ochel hu basar maliach v'shotei yayin migito. These are two things that are not as good as the item itself. Basar maliach, it's pickled meat. It doesn't taste as good as the meat itself. It doesn't have that meaty taste. The shoteyayin migito, that's wine that hasn't been fermented fully. So it doesn't taste as good. Basar maliach ad kama. So now they want to know how long. Amar Rav Chinan Abar Kahana, Mishmei Tishmuel, Kozman she... there's a different nusach here. Kozman she hu kishlamim. Okay, either way, the nusach, it comes out the same way. Either it's eino kishlamim or shehu kishlamim. It basically means it's the same time as you leave the shlamim. The shlamim is 2 days and a night. You have to eat it. So if you pickle the meat that long, then it's already considered that it doesn't have the meaty taste anymore and you can eat it. V'yayim migito ad kama, kozman shu toses, as long as it's still fermenting. Tana, and here we bring a bright about yayin toses. This shows it's not really like wine. Yayin toses embo mishum giloy. There's no issue of leaving it uncovered. We learned this before, that if you leave a liquid uncovered overnight, we're worried that the snake comes in and is going to put his venom in it and it's poisonous. So you can't eat. If you leave a cup of water out, you're not supposed to eat it because of that reason. So yayin toses, you don't have to worry about it because it's so hot. It gets up to such a high temperature when it's fermenting that a snake isn't going to come into it. I read somewhere that it gets up to 40 degrees Celsius when it's fermenting. So you don't have to worry that the snake's going to actually come into it because no snake would go in there. V'kama tisisato, how long does that take? Shlosha yamin. Okay, so for the first 3 days, you're allowed to drink it. If you drank it, it's okay on Erev Tisha B'Av. Amar Yehuda Amarav, kach haya minhago shel Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eli. Now, most people say this was just his minhag. It's not like you have to do this. This is what he would do Erev Tisha B'Av right before the fast. Erev Tisha B'Av, mevi'im lo pat chareva b'melech. They bring him dry bread with salt. V'yoshev ben tanur l'kirayim, which was like the most disgusting place in the house. I guess it was messy from all the dirt of the tanur and the kirayim and the flames and the ash and all that. V'ochel v'shote aleh kiton shamayim. And he would sit there and eat that dry bread and drink a jug of water. V'domeh kemisha meto mutal lefanav. And he would sit there looking depressed as if he had just lost somebody. Very important to him.
It's interesting that he eats salt before a fast.
Because you're not supposed to eat salt. That. Right. Right, it's interesting. I think he's eating the salt probably because it was so dry that it probably needed something. Mm-hmm. It was like yucky kind of bread. Okay, tznan hatam. Makom shenagu, we also put salt in our bread. It could be they didn't have salt in their bread when they made it, and maybe it needed salt. Yeah, I don't know. Tznan hatam. Okay, now we're getting into isur melacha on Tisha B'Av. Okay, this comes up also in Pesachim in Makom Shenagu about this minhag of, right, the Mishnah here is from Pesachim. It was all, we learned all about this Makom Shenagu, about the Isur Melacha and Erev Pesach, and then from the morning, and then, you know, what, it, and that's all about, we learned from there the whole thing about 2 days of Yantif, and if you go to a place, you know, all the whole sugya about if you live in one place and you go to a different place, do you do like the Minhag HaMakom, or do you do like your own Minhag? So makom shnagu la'asam melacha b'tisha b'av osin. So if you're in a place where they do melacha, then you can do melacha. Makom shnagu shelo la'asam ain osin. Okay, there's two possible reasons given to why there would be an isur melacha on tisha b'av. One is so that you focus on the fast and your mind is free to, you're not busy doing other things. Often it's good to distract yourself from the fast. And here the idea is not to distract yourself. You really want to feel it. The second reason given is you might not be able to fast all day long. If definitely the opposite of what I'm saying. That maybe it won't be a good distraction. Maybe it'll take out all your energy on working, right? Imagine also they did a lot of physical labor in those days and you wouldn't be able to fast properly. And either which way, it's not an isur melacha, but there's mekomot shenagu shelo lasot. Makom shenagu shelo lasot enosin. Ubechol makom talmidei chachamim betelim. The talmidei chachamim always don't work. Rashbag omer leolam yaseh kol adam atzmo ketalmid chacham. Rashbag said you should try to make yourself like a talmid chacham and you should try not to work on Tisha B'Av. Here, there's what's the chiddush in this? Not just that you should, but sometimes you shouldn't try to act like a talmid chacham if you're not, because it's like looking like, oh, I'm so great and look, I'm like the talmidei chachamim, and there's an issue called yohora, that you're trying to look like you're so great. Here he says there's no issue there of doing this, because first of all, you're also refraining from doing something. You're not actively doing something, you're just not doing something. So there's no issue of yohora in this case. Tani nami hachi, Rashbag omer, there's also a braita that says this, Rashbag omer le'olam yaseh adam atzmo ketalmid chacham kedei sheyitaneh, in order that you suffer. Okay? Again, what this means exactly is, you know, what are you making yourself suffer? The assumption here is that you're suffering from not working because then you're not making money. And now you see why the Talmidei Chachamim didn't have to worry. They weren't working anyway, really, right? Although maybe no. It could be the Talmidei Chachamim were also working and they also need to stop working, right? It doesn't necessarily mean stop from their learning, right? Their learning, obviously, they can't do because they can't learn, right? There's most things you can't learn. But I don't know, maybe they're talking about the work that they're doing.
This has always seemed like one of the strangest things to me about Tisha B'Av, that you have all these very, it's such an important day, and yet people are allowed to work. So I thought maybe Isur Melacha, you know, would that apply? People can't drive, they can't, you know, what? But if you just said people shouldn't go to their place of work, like, it's always astounding to me. I think that's diminished its impact over the years.
Right, so here you see that they related to it, and certain communities really didn't work on Tisha B'Av. Which you see, it is common here. A lot of people don't go to work in Israel, right? In America, most people are working on Tisha B'Av.
Right.
But, or people go later in the day. You know, they try to have some semblance of focus on it. Okay. Tanya nami hachi. No, we read that right. Tanya idach. Rashbag omer, kol ha'ochel v'shoteh b'tisha b'av, ki'ilu ochel v'shoteh b'yom ha'kippurim. Okay, here they're trying to strengthen the status of it, you can see, right? They're trying to say it's as severe as Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva omer, kol ha'oseh melacha b'tisha b'av, eino ro'eh siman bracha la'olam. Okay, and that's a way of saying, I'm sure you've heard this before about Shabbat, right? If you work on Shabbat, then, you know, all the money you make on Shabbat isn't going to go anywhere, right? Because people are always concerned, how am I going to make a living if I don't work? So they're saying, and most people say, eino ro'eh siman bracha la'olam means from that work that you did on that day. You're not going to get any benefit from it. The chachamim omrim, kol ha'oseh melacha b'tisha b'av, ve'eino mitabel al yushalayim, if you don't really feel, this is a good line, right? It's one, on the one hand, you could say it's like a technical punishment. If you're not going to be mourning on Jerusalem, then you're not going to see it in its glory. But it's really psychological, right? If you don't understand the full implications of the importance of Jerusalem, and therefore you don't do avelut, you don't mourn for it, then you won't appreciate the simchata when we rebuild Jerusalem. Right, it's always in order to appreciate something, right? You have to feel its loss. Shene'amar simchu et Yerushalayim b'gilu ba, sisu ba kol ohaveha, sisu, how do you read this? Sisu ata, one second.
Ita.
Asisu ita misos kol hametablim aleha. So here you see it. It's the happiness of all those who mourn for her. Mikan amru kol hametabel Yerushalayim zocheh v'roeh b'simchata v'sheino metabel Yerushalayim eino roeh b'simchata. Okay, that's what they learn from there. Tanya nami hachi kol ochel basar v'shoteh yayin b'tisha ba'av alav ha-katuv omer v'tihi avonotam al atzmotam. If you eat basar and drink wine on Tisha B'Av, the pasuk says to you, your avon will be on your bones. Now, some people explain this differently. Either when you die, like it'll be so ingrained in your bones, it's going to stay with you, because what are you left with at the end of your life? Just your bones. Some people say it has to do with tchiyat hametim, because your bones are going to come back to life. And here you have avonot on your bones, so you won't be zochet at tchiyat hametim. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev b'kfiyat hamita, v'lo hodu lo chachamim. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said you have to turn over your bed and lie on the uncomfortable side of your bed, or on the floor. V'lo hodu lo chachamim. Chachamim didn't agree with him. Tanya, amru lo l'Rabbi Yehuda, lidvarecha ubarot u'minikot matay alehem. Right? They have some rachmanut on those pregnant women and the nursing women. How are they going to sleep on these beds like this? Amar lahem, af ani lo amarti ela b'yachol. I only meant people who can handle it. I didn't mean if you can't handle it. Tanya nami hachi. Here's another braita that supports this. Mode Rabbi Yehuda lechachamim b'she'eno yachol, u'modim chachamim leRabbi Yehuda b'yachol. Now, it's a really weird braita. So first of all, it says Rabbi Yehuda agrees with chachamim if you can't. Okay, fine, that makes sense. But now, if you add the second line, it says chachamim or modim to Rabbi Akiva if you can, which means that they basically both say the same thing. If they each agree in opposite cases, then they both agree that you're supposed to turn over your bed if you can handle it, and you're not supposed to turn over your bed if you can't. So why did it say lo hodu lo chachamim? So my benayu, what's the difference? Ika benayu sh'ar mitot. Kedetanya, they're talking about all the other beds. What does that mean? Kedetanya, like we see in a braita, kesh'amru lechapot amita, lo mitato bovaru kofeh, ela kol amitot kulanu kofeh. He turns over all the beds in his house, even if he's not sleeping on them, right? Like, we all have some kids in camp, right? So what does it mean? It means that we go into their rooms. If they're not home, we turn over their beds anyway, even if they're not here. Amarava, hilchita ketana didan, v'lo hodu lo chachamim kol ikar. Okay, the halach is like our Tana, who says, right, our Mishnah, that means that the chachamim lo hodu lo at all. In other words, this issue that you're saying, it has to do with all the beds. I don't agree with that. There's one way of reading it that basically they didn't agree with him at all, and that's the one we paskin. Okay, we're going to stop here, and tomorrow we're going to finish up starting from the Tu B'Av, because this is all one sugya. It starts off with basically describing what are all the things that happen. You know, what is Tu B'Av commemorating? What happened on that day? And there's a lot of different opinions. We're going to see it obviously wasn't clear to them what this day is all about, and we're going to see, I don't even remember how many. There's a lot of different opinions about what happened historically on this day. Okay, maybe we'll try to figure out where they came up with all these ideas. Okay, for tomorrow.